Hello. Welcome to another episode of Good Stuff with Bad People. I am your host, CJ Cox. I am a bad person because Home Depot. I was there getting stuff, had a whole cart. I had two long poles of PVC pipe on my cart. I come around a corner. There's this huge stack of canisters of like foam filler or whatever, but it's like 5 feet high. Bam. My poles knock it over, goes clattering to the ground, and what do?
Walk away.
Just turn around. Renee. Walk away. Walk away.
Yeah, but you could play the cripple card.
Yeah, cripple card.
No, not as fast as I walked away. They would revoke my cripple card. So today we have a special guest.
Yay!
Drew Droege.
Hi.
In fact, you are responsible for, I'm sure, people all over. In fact, especially in my house, that the word is no longer toast.
Yep.
It's toast.
Absolutely.
So. That was such a happy accident when we discovered that in that video. For these Chloe 70 impression videos that I do, that we just saw that A in toast, and we were like, what if she pronounces it with all five letters, toast, you know? And why had no one ever done that before? Like, why had no one ever, you know, done that? It's so stupid. Like, why does toast have an A in it? I don't know.
I actually saw an interview with her kind of talking about you.
Oh, yes. Oh. She's done it before. Yes, she has done. And she goes back and forth, and sometimes she's always, like, really flattered. Sometimes she's hurt, and she's like, she doesn't like it. You know, it's just, it's,
It was funny because in the interview, it seemed like she was trying so hard to let people know, like, oh, yeah, I'm in on the joke. I think it's really funny.
Oh, I know. And she's not. And that's fine. it's really strange because, like, I don't even think of her when I do the videos anymore. Like, she's getting so much further away from
the Chloe character.
7 years. And so, like, when, you know, and I saw her in a movie. I just saw her in, this movie, Beatrice at Dinner with, Salma Hayek. Yeah. And I just was watching the whole movie going, oh, Chloe 70 is really good in this movie. And it took like two-thirds of the movie to sort of connect what I do with her now. It's like, I don't even, but it's got to be weird for her. Like, it's just, because it's not like, Chloe 70 doesn't pronounce toast like toast. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, so it's like a real weird offshoot of like the strangest part of the acid trip of her, you know, weirdest day. You know what I mean?
Although I have to say that you know, in other interviews where I've seen, just name-dropping and
she
fashion.
Loves to name-drop. She loves to name-drop really esoteric,
right.
Very, like, hyper-literate references that nobody else gets. And that's when the first interview I read of her, I was like, she loves to just casually talk about these things that nobody else gets. And that was funny to me, where it was just sort of like, you know, it's one thing when people kind of name drop so you'll be impressed by what they're talking about. But it's almost like she wants you to, it's like, it almost seems like she would be disappointed if you knew what she was talking about.
And I have to say, my one Chloe Sevigny story, so minor, but yeah, in your characterization of her, she's always wearing just weird, obscure fashions.
Yes.
I ran into her at my local Vons.
Really?
I did. And it was like 10:30 in the morning, and she was wearing something like an ironic coin skirt. That I just thought, like, really? You're at the grocery store at 10:30 in the morning.
Shopping for corn pops and eggplants.
Yeah, and she was just dressed like that. So getting right down to it, tell us why you're a bad person.
Oh, my God. There's so many reasons. The first thing that pops to my mind is I start fights with strangers. And I'm the worst.
You
and I don't know why.
Donnie.
I have my father in me, and I will try really hard to be like the nicest person. And the second someone's awful, I turn into, there's no medium with me. I immediately switch into and it's like, why do I care that someone's awful? I mean, yesterday I was running into Starbucks to just grab a juice or something. I was like in the van. I was like, oh, I'm going to pop in. And this girl was so rude to the barista, just dismissive. Like, it wasn't even like a story. It wasn't even worth, like, I don't even think the barista cared. It was like, they're used to dealing with awful people every day. I mean, she was just humorless, and she just had her head, she had her earbuds in, and, you know, and she just, like, they tried to make some sort of joke, and she was just not having it at all. And I just out loud go, wow, grumpy, like, out loud. And I'm like, what am I winning? Like, I don't know why I do that. Like, I feel the need to, like, school the world and, like, how to be a nice person, but I'm way worse.
Okay.
You know, I jump into, like, way worse. She was just maybe having a bad day, or maybe just like, I don't know, just has, you know, is not a smiler, or has Bell's palsy or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know what her deal. I don't know her story. She might be going through something really major. And I'm like, you're grumpy. Like, what's wrong with me?
Okay, we're going to circle back to that. So okay, think great. About, like, the most petty reason that you've ever picked a fight with somebody.
Okay.
But first, well, let's...
I just want to make a point that everyone's pointing to me.
So let's go around and let's meet the rest of our panel of bad people. And let's start with you that I'm pointing to.
All right. Well, Risa, I should say my name is now... I changed it,
what?
By the way, on Facebook. I'm officially, if you want to look me up, Dami Von... Crackin' butt.
Oh. Really?
I just D-A-H-M-M-I-E.
Well, that's why
it's D-A-H-M-M-I-E.
All right, bad person right there. We already done.
If that's enough, that's good. I've yelled at my mother that she cannot call me anymore unless she texts me first. We have this whole thing where, like, I keep telling her, text me, because I'm usually at the gym with the time difference. She's in New York. Mm-hmm. And then I can talk, and she just calls, and I'm like, you have to stop this. You have to text me. And her answer for a year has been, I don't want to text you. I want to talk to you. And I'm like, you don't understand. It will lead to us talking, but she doesn't. She thinks it's replacing talking, and she's 80, so she's still not. I say it over and over again. So I put my foot down. I'm like, that's it. I'm never answering the phone unless you text me first.
This is your mother. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that.
And she still hasn't done it. She still just calls. And then I have to get on the phone. And then I hang up with her. I have her text me. And then I will call her back.
If I were your mother, I would be texting. I mean, I would not text you. And I would call you. I would make sure that I would call you first thing in the morning. Like, so that,
oh, that wouldn't
the,
wait. So that your cell phone phones, you can't. You
at
can't,
like 5 a.m.
Doesn't matter. All right. It's turned off.
All right.
No.
Let's get a you.
Hi.
Jackie.
I just want to tag on this really quick. I haven't talked to my mom in a year, but I did slowly go from, I don't want to talk to you at all, you can only text. And then finally I was like, I'm blocking you.
You blocked her?
I will talk to her again. She talks to my ex-wife and my new girlfriend, but I can't talk to her. I'll break my phone if I have to talk to her. I'll talk to her again at some point.
My okay. mom's a saint, by the way. I just want to clarify that.
My mom, not so much. Anyway, all right. So my bad thing this
week.
Wait,
that's not your bad thing, yeah, that
no,
you don't
sorry,
speak
you guys.
To your mother?
No, I think it's,
she's
I think it's
self-preservation.
A very, I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. I think it's a really smart thing. This week, my friend Fred Stoller... He
name dropping.
I know, but it's part of the story. He every time we get together, we make like a funny video that like it's a pretend date, and I'm this horrible person to him, and he sends it to his friends, and his friends are like, "Who is that girl? Like, why is she so mean? Like, don't go out with her anymore. She's terrible." So we've escalated it to me making these videos. Like, I make these like 3.5 minute long videos just berating him and threatening him, bullying him, telling him he has to give me money or his contacts, like why? And they're so, like, it's all I want to do. And this weekend I was supposed to memorize lines for something that I did, which I did memorize the lines, but I couldn't stop making the videos. Like, I had, and Fred kept sending me what the friends were writing back, like, look at her, she's insane, look at her eyes, like, you got, who is she? And it was so much fun. It was more fun than, I just couldn't stop. I had to find that. I'm like, Fred, I'm blocking you for the day because I can't, I have to concentrate on what I'm doing right now. But the videos, we could put the videos on the,
yeah,
on the website.
Let's do it.
It's so fun to be really mean.
Although, I want to just go back to the idea that you're bullying him for contacts. That's such a Hollywood
thing. I know, I love that. You have to give me your contacts and your money.
Also,
he's the nicest, most gentle person. So it's even more fun to be mean to a really nice person.
So funny. And the whole thing is, what makes me laugh the hardest about the whole thing is that they're like they're like, how are they believing this?
That you're filming.
I'm videotaping myself. Like, it's evidence that it's a lie when I'm videotaping. And every video, like, it's just like, hi, Fred. Like, everybody keeps telling me, my A-lister friends are telling me that I should stop harassing you. But I can't. Like, you need to learn. Like, just make up.
A-lister friends.
I'm like, I was out with my A-lister friends for brunch.
Gross.
And somebody's like, is she talking about, like, contacts for your eyes? Like, what is she talking about?
Oh, wow.
But the fact that they believe it, they really believe And so I think we're the most evil for, you know, the friends still think it's true. Okay, and they're worried about Fred. They're worried
that's
about
pretty good that they'll have an intervention to try and separate you two.
Are you worried that you're too good at being evil, pretending to be evil?
I am.
I've been with her where she just, she loves being evil.
I do too. I love it. It's an exorcism in a way. Like, you do that and then you're like, I'm good. It's like going to the gym. Yeah. It's like,
it's very cathartic.
You did that.
Yeah. All right, let's continue around.
Hi, I'm Chip, and I'm a bad person because many years ago I had a girlfriend who was living with me briefly, who I now refer to as the She-Wolf of the SS.
Wow.
After that fine film.
Ilsa.
Ilsa, the She-Wolf, you know it.
And the thing is, Julie's sitting right here.
I know. It was pre-Julie.
Was that Sybil Danning? Was that Ilsa?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, was maybe? It Sybil Danning?
I don't know, maybe
or was
not.
Was it some unknown creature?
Okay, yeah. I think Sybil Danning did something.
Sybil Shepherd?
And she was also harem keeper of the Sheiks.
Oh.
The other movie. That's,
is she yes. who gave you guys herpes?
Yes. Anyway, she moved out, and she left behind a framed picture of her and her friends, and I ritualistically burned it in the sink, which seems cruel.
Wow.
Isn't that
That's
cruel?
Not
cruel. Yeah. Do it again. You would do it again.
To exercise her.
Yeah.
You should have photocopied it and then done it, like, maybe once a year.
Oh, that's true. And then sent videos of it to her.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And then yelling at friends.
Why was she horrible?
Now
you're like, how long do we have?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember any specifics. She was just mean.
Mean. Well, yeah.
Did she make you cry?
No.
Come but we would on, fight. You cried.
Did you yell at her?
I'd never fight with anyone, but yeah, we would yell at
did
each other. Then we then we'd make
did
out.
Did you hit each other?
Did she hit you?
No, she never hit me.
Did she throw you down the stairs?
No. What,
just like a Tyler Perry movie.
She sounds great.
What if by the end of this podcast we're still asking you questions?
She was,
and you're just
she was
like,
a
no,
shrike.
No, no.
No, what if by the end of the podcast...
Were there any nice qualities about her?
Yeah, yeah.
What if by the end of the...
lovemaker?
I'm sitting next to my wife. I feel uncomfortable.
You're the one who introduced the subject.
I didn't introduce the sex. Though.
I'm thinking by the end of the podcast, maybe we will have broken them up and he will have decided to get back together with her.
You know?
You never know. Well, we're bad
What's
people.
What's her name? Maybe,
you know,
we, so. Maybe she can contact us.
Oh.
So maybe we should hear from your wife
contacts.
Now.
Get contacts.
I need your contacts.
I don't care at all.
Because she's having an affair.
Does that make me a bad person? I do not care. Somebody asked him last night, we were out for dinner, and they said, Chip, do you wear anything to bed? And I piped up, oh, no, he doesn't. And then he looked at me, he goes, yes, I do. And I was like, oops. Like, how do I not even know that you've started wearing stuff to bed? Like,
how long have you guys been married?
You haven't truly looked at me in years.
Yeah. Truth.
True.
What are you wearing to bed?
Just underwear and a t-shirt.
All right. Sure.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Nipple clamps.
Oh, sure. I mean, well, that's a given.
Two dogs. Uh-huh. Yeah. The dogs want
to. Okay. And just to clarify, how long have you two been married?
We've been married for 16 and a half years.
Wow.
But we've been together for 23 years.
Mm, yeah.
All right. And that's long enough.
People
to be...
clap in the heterosexual world. In the gay world, we're like, boo.
Clap.
For. Like, how do they do it?
Clap for that
like
long.
Like when someone announces we've been together 50, everyone's like, yay.
Everybody's like, oh my God.
We're
yay.
So happy.
And they're just like, eh.
When I hear a gay couple are together for 15 years, I roll my eyes.
Yeah, I was thinking like, okay.
Know, yeah, yeah. What are you doing on the side?
Yeah, they just say like, okay, they've been together for 15 years. And I always think like, so in other words, you haven't had sex for 14 and a half years.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay, let's circle back to this. Like, what's the most petty reason that you have picked a fight with somebody? Anybody? Like, okay.
Well, do my stories count?
Your stories are always petty, and they always count.
They're not petty. He blocked the driveway to the LGBT center. The parking attendant guy, he blocked the driveway. And so I went up to the parking attendant guy. I'm like, excuse me, I was nice, but I knew it might, whatever. And it's like, you did, and he didn't want to hear it. He's like, I have the right. He said, look at the license plate. I can do whatever I want. And he's blocking the whole driveway for people to go in and out.
Oh, my God.
I took a stand. I don't think that was petty. I took a stand for
Parkers.
That
is taking a stand. I also think little things are an indication of your behavior, your character. Like, you know, I mean, we, you know, we We don't see people, like, you know, thank God, you know, murdering people in the streets most of the time. But, like, people do little things, and you're just like, you don't live in my neighborhood. That shows who you are. I have a right to park here. How about you just move your car? Yeah, like, people are trying to get, like, services there.
That's my thing about people who make left turns in oncoming traffic, that you're... let's say Olympic Boulevard. Mm-hmm. There are three lanes. It's drive time. There are six lanes of traffic going both ways, and somebody decides that they want to make a left turn out of some side street where there's not a light, and everybody has to stop because where they're going. I always just interpret that as saying, like, oh, where you're going is so much more important than where everybody else is going, as opposed to just take three rights.
Don't make left. Just do right.
Right.
I know.
It's too dangerous, too. Uh-huh.
It is dangerous, and you're not really saving that much time because you're just taking forever to even make that left turn, so you're just screwing everybody up. But, you know, I mean... Ugh, everybody's out for themselves, you know? They don't ever think. I have a thing about when people park. I think the amount of reasons we give people tickets,
right.
And if we don't give tickets to people who park in the middle of a curb, right. It makes me crazy.
Yeah, me too.
There's no parking in L.A. It's the worst part. Like, everybody talks about the traffic in L.A. I don't mind the traffic. Usually, 95% of the time, I know there's going to be traffic. I mean, I'm not, like, mad at the traffic. I am constantly furious with the parking because I'm like, I'll be somewhere that I need to be. But circling around, and you see some douche nozzle that's parked in the middle of a where like, there could be another car.
There are two parking spots. Yes. So there are two parking spots, and somebody parks.
I want to create a campaign in Los Angeles called Park Polite, like to get people to park in a way that allows for the most cars. I have an Airbnb, and we live on this very small street, and I have this whole diatribe that I send to them about parking in a way that allows for most cars, and I get so mad when I see their car parked like a douche, like a dick. It's like, why does that? Like, I took pains to explain it in a way that was so clear what I was asking of you, and you, I don't know.
Well,
makes me mad.
Cars are the same length, right?
For the most part.
I mean,
because all they have to do is put those markers on the street of where, you know, they have some in some places where their business is. Just do that everywhere. Mm-hmm. Then people will have no choice. Like, well, I guess I got to park in between the little white lines.
Or people could just stop being selfish dicks.
People are stupid.
And make a point to, you know, be considerate of other people. That's pretty good. That is a totally pet peeve of mine.
But it also, when someone does that, they're telling you who they are. And then it really is. And I've done incredibly selfish things, too. And they're things we do. We're all pigs underneath it. But, like, we all do things. But, yeah, that's one of those things that when you see someone do that, it's like when you see someone being rude to the waiter. You know, they're really nice to you. But when they're rude to the waiter, I'm like, oh, you're not a great person. You're nice to me because you need to be.
Right.
But, there's this great movie that called Ingrid Goes West. I don't know if any of you guys saw it. It came out this year. It's Aubrey Plaza, and so it's all this stuff in it. But one of my favorite things in the movie is about how, you know, and it is set in L.A. and it's very much. But it's this girl who just moves to L.A. and she's obsessed with this Instagram star and she's doing everything she can to have this girl's life. And it's the stalkery. It's sort of like single white female kind of thing about an Instagram star.
But of the new media age.
Of the new media age. Okay. But she's horrible to everyone who's nice to her, like, because she doesn't need them. And that's so, and I don't even want to say that's an LA thing, but it is a thing where you see where people are nice to you because they think, like, oh, I need some, I'm supposed to be nice to you, but you don't matter to me. I mean, that's got to be exhausting to most people.
I feel like it always comes back to those people.
I think so, too. Absolutely. I have to at least believe that it does.
I have to believe, too.
You know, or I can't sleep at night because I get so... I hate that.
Although everybody always says that's an L.A. thing, but I think you'd find the same thing.
That's an everywhere thing.
Small town PTA where, you know...
Absolutely.
It's some people derive their joy from putting other people down for making themselves feel powerful.
Yes.
But they're scared themselves of not having power, so they have to put somebody else down.
And it's just a thing where you're just like, why would you, you know, change? And John Waters in his book in Carsick, where he basically hitchhiked across the country, he talked about, like, you know, he was just taking rides. It was this crazy punk rock thing to do. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm 70 years old, and I'm John Waters. What's left to do? I'm going to hitchhike from Baltimore to San Francisco. And he talked about the worst. He's like, there were some people who were just total assholes, and I loved them, and they were mean and crazy, and I, you know, of course he loved them, but he was like, and there were some people that were so rude to me, and then they figured out who I was and changed the tune and were so nice to me. He goes, and those are real garbage people.
Oh yeah,
you know, because it's like those are the people that were like, oh, because I'm somebody that is, you know, that is a public figure, now you feel like you need to be nice to me. And he was like, that is such a, you know, it's very telling. You know, it's like if you're just a grub and you just hate, good for you, live your truth. But if you are,
but do it all the time.
Do it all the
time.
Be consistent.
Cold. Be cold all right. the time. Be the exactly. Grinch. Don't.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Exactly.
I performed a lot in Provincetown, and I did everything to try to get John Waters' attention. But I didn't want to just go up to him because he gets that all the time. I so I would dress like Holly Golightly Crazy, I called it. And then I would sit and I found a giant, not giant, but big enough to hold me, baby carriage. And I would have go-go boys put, like oh in their God. Speedos, like just push me up and down the street. And, you know, I had the whole cigarette holder, and one time he's like riding his bike and he like looked over and he was like ah, and just kept riding. I was like, no, this is for you. This is for you.
Yeah, all right, well, speaking of pigs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what does this
what?
Mean?
Huh?
I don't know where we're going. Bacon?
Are you trying to go politics?
CJ brought some
Are
hogs you going over. Politics?
How yeah. many people posted me too?
Oh, well, is that's talking we're talking about. Yeah, Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, yeah. We've done two pigs.
Huh? Yeah, I guess so. So, yeah,
so
we're going to bring that up as a topic.
He's gorgeous.
Although,
he's great. You guys give him a chance.
What a liquor.
I had to shave my beard off just because I looked in the mirror and I thought, like, oh, my God, I look like Harvey Weinstein.
You absolutely do not. That's absolutely crazy.
You don't realize how handsome you are, CJ. You're adorable. No.
Well, but that was the thing. The scruff was just like, I thought, like, oh,
yeah,
God.
It's like, do I look dirty
now
or do I look
now he's
fashionable?
He's ruined it for everybody.
It's not even manicured scruff. It's just like, just how looks do you like, always look like you've got a four-day growth? It's just
he's so yeah. gross.
He's just allowed to just like live as the filthiest human being. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was. I mean, it was just really. And not like fun John Waters filthiest people alive, but like real. Just like yes, and it came back to him.
Have you seen his wife?
And I have to believe it's all, that is the thing, that things come home to roost. And I love that. I mean, it's so sad that this is what had to be the reason to make all the, but I love that people are coming out. I love that people are naming names. I think it's awesome that it's like, it is, I mean, it has knocked down a huge closet door this week. I mean,
absolutely.
The unbelievable amount of people who have said all these stories and, you know, and I think, you know, this is a time for everybody to just, you know, to sort of live without shame about this. Cause it's, you know, it's happened to everybody, sadly, you know, and especially women. And I think it's just something that, you know.
Although I have to admit that my first response, because somebody told me about it. And so my first response was picturing Harvey Fierstein.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
And did you see he wrote this huge thing online about like, I am not Harvey Weinstein. I've gotten so much hate mail, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like,
but my thing was saying like, okay, not to doubt the victims, but it just seems weird that Harvey Fierstein would want Ashley Judd to watch him shower. and then I got straightened out, but I just thought like, okay, I sort of want to pursue now that because okay, Harvey Weinstein asks you to watch him shower. Yeah, that's only going in one direction with like Ashley Judd trying to climb out the bathroom window while he's playing a lightning round of whack-a-mole.
Sounds like one of her movies.
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
I bring up an inappropriate question?
Oh, no.
No. How about no?
Well, okay.
No,
let me just...
really? We're bad people.
Let's raise our hands if we're afraid of what Dami's going to say.
Well, everybody is. Let me finish that thought. But on the other hand, the Harvey Fierstein thing, where if I'm Ashley Judd and Harvey Fierstein asked me to watch him shower, then
the
all of a sudden
is
I'm
yes.
like, because...
Why wouldn't you not?
But it's the intention.
Happen?
People
Where
were saying
we
that last
this?
Night at a show I was at. They were like, if Brad Pitt was doing all that stuff, girls would be like, yeah. But when the intention's creepy and you feel it being creepy, you don't like it. It doesn't feel
that
good.
That was part of the thing where
it
I thought,
matter.
Like, it's
Ted Bundy was very
some
attractive.
Might like, some people like
you know,
people.
It doesn't matter. It's not about Chubbies. That. It's really, it's power. Yeah. It's about power. It's not
it's
about
creepiness.
Anything.
And if Brad Pitt was...
It's also a power. Yeah, it's... it's taking somebody's insecurity and mm-hmm. manipulating it in the grossest way to
he
feel...
can get sex anytime he wanted. Yeah. I mean, that's he, right. he could pay
his
for
wife
it.
Is gorgeous.
I know,
and it's so gross and obvious why she's with him. I would be ashamed.
Yeah,
it's
a she deserves it. I'm sorry, but she deserves it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she, but she's, but at least she kind
she
of
deserves the pain.
Unlike yeah. those politician wives who just kind of stand there in their blue suits and be like, yeah, Jesus wants me to support my husband. That at least she said, like, nope, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Done.
Please, like, did she? I haven't really followed.
I'm
did
sure
she
he harassed yeah. her yeah, before they got yeah. married.
I'm sure she'll get a nice settlement.
Oh, I'm sure. Although, what was your question? I want to know your question, Dami.
I just wonder of all of the. Okay, stop it. No, I'm okay, allowed to bring something
I know,
up.
I know.
Just the way my mind works. Like, of all the, obviously, everything he did was wrong, of course. Of all the women who have coming forward saying, you know, he did this, I really don't know the details. But how many actually got jobs because of his disgusting behavior? No, stop, but truly, if he's doing this all the time for the last 20 years...
No, the last 30 years.
30 years, mm-hmm. there have to be lots of women who are in these movies that he put in or something that did gross things just so they can get work.
I don't understand how that works. Like, I've had...
I'm just curious,
I've had people
like, where
proposition me, and I've turned them down, obviously, because look at where I am. But but I feel like... What would really happen? Like, if I, you know, did do that, would they really, how would they?
Yeah, I know. I don't know how that, I don't know how
would
that
have to tape it and
the,
be like,
the person
look,
doing it. Because yeah. once you, okay, so you say, yes, I'll have sex with you and I'll get this part. Now I'm a movie star. Now I'm no longer going to have sex with you. I think when you promise someone, I know how it works in the gay world, and it never works well for these boys that get, you know, because why would somebody who is like a predator, why would they, you know, they're going to promise you work. They're going to promise you stardom. They're going to promise you the world. But once they make you a star, you no longer need that predator anymore. You're a star now. Mm-hmm. So they have to find someone else. They want you, they just want you for sex and for dominance and to take you around to parties and say, look what
I can
get.
They always want you to need them.
They want you to need them. Yes. So I don't know that it actually has helped. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure there are countless stories of people doing the casting couch because they think that's their way to get in there. But
and
I don't
it has
know
worked
if it,
for
it
people,
work.
But I don't understand how it does
maybe
work.
Once. You know what I mean? I think maybe right. one time. But then after that, I don't know.
Joan Crawford.
You know,
they talk about it
sure.
a lot in Feud.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
They talk about it a lot in Feud, how she slept with people mm-hmm. to get
right.
ahead.
But I just don't know that is even, you know, it's like long-term.
I feel like not sleeping with them makes you get ahead because
yes.
they
yes.
still want the prize.
I guess. And then I think at
or
the
teasing.
End.
Yeah. yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I think you still got to have the talent, you know.
Absolutely.
You
come, like,
then,
you know,
okay, great. I'm giving you this part. You
but then look sure. at Keanu Reeves.
I would gladly. I would gladly look at Keanu Reeves.
Yes. You know, there are rumors about him and so and so, and whatever.
There were rumors about all kinds
He's
of people.
He's such a bad actor, but I love him.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He has a star. He has a thing that I get. That's like undeniable. That works for him. You know, he has that aura and that. You know,
his body
is he
yeah. body's crazy.
Matrix was
is
amazing.
He is I mean, you say he's a bad actor.
He's,
so he's not.
If you've
get
seen
cast.
Point Break, which I absolutely adore, and is one of the best movies ever. He's so awesomely bad. It's sort of fantastic.
It works for him.
Okay, right. But Point Break. Don't you think that they went into that saying like, okay, we're playing. There's a camp appeal.
No,
to
Gary.
This.
Everyone in that thing. Patrick Swayze is awesome. It's a Catherine Bigelow movie. I mean, mm-hmm. this is a great film. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when he does his big dramatic Oscar moment in the movie, and he gives his speech, it's amazing.
Do you think anybody is really handing Keanu Reeves a script saying, like, yeah, you've got your big Oscar moment?
Yeah, I think, well, it's also, I mean, I feel like Nicolas Cage has the same thing where you're just like,
oh, God, don't get us started on Nicolas
that
Cage.
Sort
I love
of
the
weird
Nick Cage.
Thing.
You do?
But,
oh, God.
But yeah,
yeah.
And it's also, it's you know, it's opinions. It's like, there's certain people that have Oscars that I think are horrible, horrible mm-hmm. actors. And most people would say, I think they're great. And it's like, you know, I mean, I think that's part of the but then
name them all.
An allure.
Harvey Weinstein.
Can I tell one
Nicolas
of my
Cage.
Me Too stories? Because it happened to me.
Yes.
Wait, your Me Too stories.
Yeah, Me Too.
No, hashtag oh. Me Too.
Yes, although I have to say that I'm a bad person because I went on Facebook and all my female friends are putting hashtag me too. And I just felt gross and dirty. And I haven't been on Facebook since then.
Well,
because I felt like I was participating in that.
Yeah.
Does anybody have a problem with the Me Too thing? Because I've seen some people say they don't like it, and I'm just curious to hear what
I'm curious as to women like who were hit on at a party, and that is Me Too versus
nobody
something else
is, no
Me Too.
Woman is writing Me Too because they were hit
know.
On
people
at a party.
Online,
I'm telling
people,
you.
People online, 500,000 people are writing. I don't believe everything that
you
comes
don't
out
think
online.
That that many
I wrote
women
two
are,
real
are...
stories about Me Too, and I was like, Jesus, I could go on and on and on and on. And I just wrote two.
I chose not to put Me Too. It feels a little bit to me like... So I guess... It feels like it's just perpetuating that, oh my gosh, I'm a victim, instead of being like, that's the past. I don't have to keep it alive. It's keeping this bad thing that happened in the past alive. And I don't know. I just feel like, to me, it feels like one of those pray for me things.
Right.
I don't know.
My Me Too's, both of them had an ending where I fought back. One guy... You know,
one guy, you killed him.
Well, one guy, his friend said he was a member of the Fortune 500, and the other guy was like, he was really nice, but he was drunk. And I'm like, does that make me a prostitute? Like, I'm really nice too, but when I get drunk, I stab people. So what if I'm so, like, he was saying because he was drunk, it was okay that he lifted my dress in front of his friends to see my underwear. But the other guy, grabbed my crotch and I broke his nose. So there were both stories of how I, took it back.
Yeah, you took it. Yeah.
It just never ceases to astound me when I'm with a woman and she gets whistled at in traffic, like on the street. Somebody drives by, some guy drives by and whistles at her. And I'm like, what just happened? And I'm always like, what? And it's happened and every woman just goes, yeah. And they don't think anything of it.
Yeah,
and that is so, like, heartbreaking to me. Because it's like, oh, you're just used to just being treated like... And that's nothing. And that's not, like, a Me Too situation. Like, someone whistled at me on the street. You know? And I think anybody that's going to say that... And again, there was this fucking article that was written about, like, how gay bars, like, and how people get, you know, on the dance floor. It's like, you go in on the dance floor, shirts come off, hands get wandering. You know, and it's like, you're making a choice to go into the back room at a gay bar and dance with a bunch of, shirtless guys.
Drunk,
that's
horny
not
guys.
The same as someone using their power to, like, you know, dominate you. Those are very different situations.
People are saying it as a bad thing?
As a bad thing.
No, they're saying you could say the same exact sentence, you know, and it's a... Sounds like
I know,
time.
I know. I'm like,
I'm like, okay, I want to go there.
But I don't go to that place. So, yes, and I do think there are a lot of people who are joining the bandwagon that maybe, you know, I mean, the thing I like about it is that, like, and just with the same with this, with our president, is that it's unifying us in a way that had before.
You're right,
We never had this, and we have to sort of, in my mind, just sort of say, I hear you. I believe you. I see you. You know, whatever. And the more of us, the more powerful we all are together.
Yeah.
Fighting this sort of patriarchy or fighting this sort of gross pig, this dying
mentality.
Old white man that's leaving the consciousness and it's going to be, it's this ugly final
beautiful.
Grasp.
That's it. Yes. That's it. You nailed it. And I just want to in defense of what I said, like, but I also think the Me Too is a show of solidarity, and that's a nice thing. That's a good thing. It's a powerful thing. So
yes.
I just needed to
qualify
what I said.
No, but I think your perspective is interesting because I've seen some people say, no one's saying I hate this Me Too thing, but a lot of people are saying I'm conflicted about it.
You know,
so it's interesting.
Tell me if this is a Me Too thing. I was on a subway, and it was super, super crowded, and my sisters were visiting me, and I was going to do comedy at Caroline's for the first time. And I just moved to New York. I was super excited. My sisters were there. All these people were coming to see me. And we're crowded on the subway, and we're going to go shopping for, I'm going to get a pair of jeans. And I'm talking, and my sisters inspire me. They're my muses. And I'm laughing, and I'm being my most funny self. And all the while, I'm feeling something poking into my ass crack. Poking, and I'm wearing yoga pants. Poking. And then finally, when the train stops, I'm figuring... In the back of my mind, it's somebody's bag. And I turn, and there's this huge guy with sweatpants on and the biggest fucking chubby.
that
had
yeah,
been
that's
poking
a,
it too, into my, and
did
I,
you kick it?
I did because he got off too fast, man. And I just, I was stunned and taken aback. And my sister Melissa said, "It's because you have hungry bum pants."
Oh my God!
Is
your sister Donna Karen?
My sister's so funny, and she just knew that if she said something funny, it would be. I would be laughing about it instead of feeling victimized.
Right.
And we laughed so fucking hard about it. Like, it almost, instead of crying about it, I laughed like maniacally for like an hour.
Right.
We laughed about it. So I...
If only you could go back and just laugh at him.
I wish, there are scenarios in my mind where I turn around and I pull his pants down.
Right.
And I'm like, look at that. You know what I mean? Like, that's in my mind. But truly, it doesn't have an effect on me. Like, it's not, anyway. I chose not to post it or put me too.
I was at a park one time in New York, and some guy was jerking off. I realized, and looking at me, and I just left and called my mom upset. And this is what my mom said to me. She said, "Enjoy it while you can. Those days end."
Oh.
Now I know why you don't talk to me.
That's why I don't talk to my mother.
Is that why you walked away from me that day?
But Jackie, imagine your mother's torment. That's what she believes.
Right.
And
and that's the mentality. Yeah. And that's, I think, in both of these stories, it's like the lesson is stopping this behavior. It's stopping this thought process.
Yeah, because she has it too.
Yes.
My mom...
Women can be incredibly misogynist, and it's fascinating.
My mom was the first female pilot in New Jersey.
What?
Wow.
And if that got to proceed, I can't imagine like what my life would be so different if my mom got to keep doing that. But the guy who was teaching her started harassing her. Started lifting up her skirt while she was flying the plane and following her at school, stalking her. And she went to her father and said what was going on. And he didn't believe her. He didn't believe my mother.
Oh, no.
So my mom just stopped. She never really did anything. She was the first pilot. Like, if I had that mom, that would have been so great.
If she would
have
been
fulfilled. But instead I had a mom that was just crushed.
Okay.
Sully.
Which I think that's the important thing about the Me Too campaign is that, it does kind of get people to unify against this behavior. Although, I have another question about, like, you know, your friend getting whistled at or whatever. Because, I was in Hollywood a few weeks ago. I just came out and got into my truck or whatever. And there's this woman walking past on the sidewalk. And she was stunning. And I don't know what was going on or whatever, because she was wearing sort of this 50s suit her hair was, I mean, it looked like I had encountered Diana Ross in 1965 or something this woman was so gorgeous that I was sort of, she was breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I really wanted to say something.
Yeah.
But how do you do that now?
It's intent. I mean, I think if you, if going up to a woman and just saying, "I'm so sorry, you are so gorgeous. I had to take a moment. You're stunning." First of all, like, you know, us saying that, a woman would be like, okay, this gay man is worshiping and is appreciating me and my beauty. Because I think we can't just be like, I have to shut off all sights of, you know, I can't say that someone's attractive. And I think it's nice to say something that someone looks
getting
good.
Getting complimented by gay men is the best.
I think as a straight man, you can say it as well. I think it's like, I think that, I think we have to be careful not to be like, you know.
Scared to talk to you.
Yes.
Don't be offended at
everything. Don't be offended
at
that kind of stuff. But there's a different intention from that into like, hey, baby.
Come on.
There's a real different sort of vibe.
Yeah, I didn't want to be that guy who's like hollering out the window, being like, hey, baby, hey.
You could be that guy. The fact that you worry about that shows that you could never be that guy.
Exactly.
I
think.
But at the same time, I also felt like, I mean, she was just like so great that it brightened my entire day, and I wanted to express that, and I felt that I couldn't.
Yes, you can. We're telling you.
I think you can always tell someone, you just brightened my day. Like, just like, look, I just looked at you, and you Because
it was probably
a force
her energy.
Yes,
force of nature. That's a beautiful, what a gorgeous thing to
do. Yeah, it was great. And I just, you know, I felt like, oh, she'd kind of given me this gift and I wanted to express that.
Yeah.
But I didn't. And so I just kind of sat
there.
She
almost turned you straight.
I hope she hears this.
Maybe. I mean, there are, like, I went to an event last night and I was talking to this woman. We had this whole conversation. And it was weird because she was so beautiful that I found it distracting. Mm-hmm. But of course, I feel like you cannot comment on someone's appearance.
I comment on guys' appearances all the time.
Really?
But I think we accept that. I think people do comment more on guys' appearances, and we're not offended.
Meanwhile, there's like a support group for people that have been harassed
by Donnie.
No, I think it's maybe like golden rule. It's like, you know, how would you want to be talked to? And if you dress up and you look really nice and you put together, I mean, our friend Jackie Beat tells me that I dress like a drunk toddler all the time. And she's always like, you dress like a drunken toddler. And I do. I can be sloppy. And then when I put it together, the other day I was at a wedding and I like put it all together and had a friend that was like, damn. And I'm like, yeah, I don't ever dress up and look, you know. And I appreciated that. I appreciated just that, like, alone. But there wasn't a sense of like, I am going to, I want to own you and dominate you and you have no control, I mean, or whatever, like making you, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the
It's nice to be told that you look difference. Nice when you, you okay. know, and yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's try and elevate this. Let's wrap it up. We're going to go around as we do and let's come up with something good. So it's just anything good that's random. I will start off.
Okay.
I'll start off. Trader Joe's cookie butter cookies.
Ooh.
They are fun to say and even more fun to eat.
They are butter cookies with cookie butter in between.
So that's not an advertisement, but if they want to give me $1,000, okay. But yeah, that's, oh my God.
And
I discovered.
They're good for you.
Yeah, they're healthy. They're made of vegan broccoli
and sunshine.
No, but I went through a whole box of them when I discovered them this week. So that's my, oh my
Trader
God.
Trader Joe's knows how to put it together.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just like there's some stoner sitting in there going, all right, what do we put this flavor with this flavor? And they know how to get you. Because you walk in there and there's like, I've never thought of that before, but absolutely delicious.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Your Trader Joe's corporate headquarters. Yeah, basically your sort of research and development team.
Yeah.
I would pay to just keep them stoned.
Yeah, exactly.
All the time.
Be like, come up with crazy things.
Yeah,
come
where
on,
they're just
you know?
Like, let's just grind cookies into peanut butter or whatever.
Exactly.
Who thinks of that unless you're stoned?
Like, let's roll Fruit Loops in a chocolate bar. And like, I don't know,
and
put,
they cover
put
it with
caramel in the middle, and you're like, oh, yeah, I want all that. Yes,
now I want that job.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so good stuff.
Good stuff. We were waited on by a former boy band star last night.
Really?
Yeah, he was hired off the telephone. They lost a member. It's called Streetwise with a Z. Apparently had quite the following in Japan and Germany or something.
Yes, Germany.
Wow. Okay.
Germany, but he just got the call from, where did he live? He was in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin.
And he can't wait to go back to Madison. He can't wait to go back.
Wait, so what?
But he had his 4 years of traveling the globe and being a big star, except in the U.S.
And now
he's waiting on us.
What is he doing in L.A.? Do you know
what he was doing in L.A. between...
He's getting his degree in economics.
Okay. Sounds like he's having a fun life.
Yes.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
Because how fun would that be to say, like, okay, tell your grandkids, I was in a boy band.
What else? I love it, too, that he seems like he has a great perspective of just, like, this isn't for me. Because it's, you know, at a certain point, you're like, it's just like you drink the Kool-Aid. And you're like, what's next? What's next? And you're wrapped up in the monster of it all. But it's like, no, I did that. Now I'm getting a degree, and I'm going back to Wisconsin, and that sounds great.
Can I say something good?
My sister and I went with my mom and dad to Alabama for my dad to go on a sort of a nostalgic tour to visit his brother and sister-in-law and all his cousins, and there was a lot of
tears and whatnot. And we had this lovely time. My sister and I went to sort of help guide them through it all because, you know, they're older and it's difficult to navigate all that new technology and whatnot. So, you know, like finding your way places. Whoa. So he called me twice because he forgets that he called me to tell me how happy and how grateful he was that I went with him to help him and figure out, you know, the times that we were going to meet and the locations that we were going to meet all of the people. We had all these lovely little lunches and dinners and breakfasts with all the different people that he wanted to get together with. And he just keeps calling me because he forgets that. Aww. And telling me how amazing it was and how it's that's a lovely
that's
thing.
Sweet. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I did my normal bike ride to the beach this weekend. It's gorgeous here. It was in the 90s. And I get to the beach. I do my north ride. And I'm just sort of chilling out. And then I see, for the first time, a pod of dolphins.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Okay. Really cool. They were not nice. Far from the shore. Yeah. You know, I tried recording it, but they go up and down, up and down.
Oh,
it's hard to get
they
them.
Weren't in one of those storage units. Okay. And then
they were not on sale.
You think of like Alien, like a pod. Yeah. You know, sort of like,
but, oh, it was okay. So
that's,
adorable.
That's a great thing. Yeah. All right.
That's really great. Chip didn't go.
Yeah, he did.
He's in the boy band.
I can't come up with anything nice.
You see, that's why you moved it to... That was horrible. That was a bad
you
person.
Went to
moved
see...
moved it to Chip. He didn't have anything.
He threw me
I
into
did.
The bus.
I did. Bashar. Yeah, I went to go see Bashar, which was great. And nobody knows what that is.
Look it
if
up.
You do know. And I made a friend online who follows Bashar, and he lives in London, and we've been talking back and forth, and he's great, and he's going to come visit. And we're going to go see Bashar together. No, just a friend.
You sure? Okay.
No, I'm cool. Just kidding.
All right. Something good. You're doing your show in New York.
Yes, I'm doing my solo show, Bright Colors and Bold Patterns, for 4 nights in LA, and then I'm going to in November. I'm going to the Soho Playhouse in New York to do it for 8 weeks through the beginning
great.
Of January.
What are the dates here?
October 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th. So 4 nights in a row.
Where?
At the Celebration Theater.
Okay.
It's sold out online, but I'm telling everybody to just show up early because we have a lot of seats. We have a lot of holds and we have a lot of, there'll be flakes and there'll be no shows and all that. So just show up if you're, will this air by then? It's next week.
Yeah.
Okay,
next,
great.
Next week.
So it's next week, Sunday through Wednesday at the Celebration Theater. I'm doing my solo show. And yeah, I think that was my good thing is that like I've been really busy doing what I love this year while the world burns. I've had a lot of guilt about like it's been like a really horrible world to be in, and yet I've been able to like have a really fun productive creative life for the last year, and I'm very grateful for that because I've spent a lot of years not having that. And it's hard to admit that, but when you're just like, things are going well, when you know, everybody you see and you're like, how are you? And they're kind of going, well, and you're like, yeah, I get it. Cause the world,
but I feel like creating, you know, your energy is amazing and you're so funny and talented making your platform and heard by more and more people is the most important thing that you can do right now.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I've had people say to me that like, and I think it's not just me specifically, but just in general, people need to go. I like shows are selling out. A lot of live shows. People are going to theater now. They're going to concerts. They're going to, you know, cabarets. They're going to whatever they can. I think people need to be in groups and just sort of experiencing things together. Maybe even if it is to just forget about their lives for an hour and a half or two. And it's like, and I love being a part of that. Mm-hmm. And I love when people say that to me, like, I needed this tonight. Yeah. I really needed this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that in hard times, we need kind of funny, creative people more than ever. So on that note, we will put info on our Facebook page.
Oh, cool. Great.
About your upcoming shows.
Great.
And thank you again for listening. This has been another episode of Good Stuff with Bad People.